Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After he rose from the dead, Jesus told his disciples that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins were to be preached. Two things had to be preached by the apostles to the world. First, to repent, which means both admitting that you have sins that you need to repent of and actually being sorry for those sins before God. And second, to have faith, to trust in the mercy of God for the sake of Christ. To trust that God's promise is true, that he will forgive all who believe in his Son, Christ Jesus. Those are the two things that had to be preached to all nations. Those are the two things, or if you will, the two steps that all people must go through in order to be saved. And I'll say right from the beginning, there are two steps that no one can take by their own reason or strength. But God the Holy Spirit must work both repentance and faith in the hearts of any sinner. Now that means that some people are two steps away from salvation, two big, impossible steps away, neither repenting of their sins nor trusting in Christ for salvation. Some are maybe 1.5 steps away, admitting that they're sinners, but not caring that they're sinners. They're going to keep on going along in their sin. Some people, 1 step away from salvation, both admitting their sins and sorrowing over their sins, but not yet trusting in God's promised mercy for Christ's sake. And then some are, having taken both steps, repenting, trusting in Christ Jesus for forgiveness, are counted among the righteous, among the saints of God. Now, the parable before us in today's gospel, that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, is directed mainly at the people who are 2 whole steps away from salvation. Its message, especially directed to those who, as it tells us, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. But the message in the parable is still intended for everyone, no matter what step they may be in. Now, lots of people think they're righteous, that they're good and decent people whom God has accepted because they're good and decent people. But the scriptures are clear that no one on earth actually fits into that category. No one should ever think that they're good and decent people before God, because it's just plain not true. God says no one is righteous. No, not even one. So for anyone to stand up and say, well, I think I am, they're already calling God a liar, and so therefore they're not righteous at all. No one loves God with his whole heart, or fears God, or trusts in God as he should. No one puts God's word and will above all things, all the time. From the sinful, diseased, twisted nature with which we're born, which we just sang about, especially in that hymn, to the sinful, selfish thoughts we have, words we speak, deeds we do, we've ruined any chance of earning God's favor or forgiveness. That's the reality as God sees it. The Pharisee in Jesus' parable represents all those who deny that reality, and thus they are 2 whole steps away from salvation. The Pharisees, as a group, were a faction among the Jews, as you recall. They were very active in the Church of Israel, zealous for keeping God's law, although only in external, visible ways. They followed hundreds of extra laws too, laws that weren't recorded in the Law of Moses but were added or interpreted by rabbis over the years. The Pharisees were well respected in Jewish society. People generally thought that the Pharisees were closer to God than the average person because of how many laws they looked like they were keeping. The Pharisees themselves surely thought that they were closer to God because of their law keeping. You see a prime example of it in the parable of that Pharisee who dared to enter the temple, stand before God, and say, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men." Basically, "I thank you that I'm so great." But before God, Pharisaism was dreadful. First, because they denied their sinfulness and thought highly of themselves, thinking arrogantly that they could earn God's favor with their obedience while denying their disobedience. And second, because of that, they didn't trust in God's mercy for Christ's sake. And because of that, they also failed to reflect God's mercy toward other people, which made them even guiltier before God. Two, at least, enormous steps away from salvation. The tax collectors were a small percentage of Jewish society, but still an infamous group of people. The vast majority of them involved in legalized theft, and they all knew it. Engaged in tax collection practices that were immoral and illegal according to God's law, but legal according to man's law. Socially, it was very bad to be a tax collector. And before God, it was bad too, because like the Pharisees, they were living in open sin, either because they didn't care about God at all, or because they despaired of God's mercy, thinking there was no way that he could ever be reconciled with people who had done the things that they had done. The only real difference between the Pharisees and the tax collectors is that while they were all sinners, the tax collectors knew that they were sinners. But knowing you're a sinner is a half step closer to salvation than denying it. It still isn't godly contrition, sorrow over sin, just to know that you're a sinner. The tax collector in general still needs to feel the burden of his sin, still needs to be crushed by God's law. That would be the full step of repentance. Now, society judges the Pharisee to be better off than the tax collector, closer to God, but God sees things differently. Admitting that you're evil and wretched before God doesn't save you, but it is a half step better than pretending to be a good person before God. The tax collector in Jesus' parable didn't merely acknowledge that he was a sinner. This tax collector showed by his trip to the temple and by the way he beat his breast there as he prayed to God, showed that he had been brought all the way to true repentance before God. He knew his sin. The burden of his guilt weighed heavily on his shoulders. That was step one. But he also knew and believed God's promise to be propitious, to be merciful for the sake of the sacrifices that were made right there in that same temple. Sacrifices which all pointed ahead to the true sacrifice of the Christ on the cross, whose blood makes atonement for the sins of all people. By the working of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Word, this particular tax collector had come to trust in God's mercy, and for that very reason He humbly prayed to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that was step two. Now look what Jesus says about this tax collector. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector took both steps, all by the grace and working of God, who brought him all the way to repentance and then all the way to faith. And so, even though society may still condemn that tax collector, while society at the same time praises that Pharisee, God sees things very differently. It's the sinful man who humbles himself before God, whom God forgives, whom God justifies. It's the tax collector who is now counted among the righteous, among the saints of God, while the Pharisee, for all his self-righteousness, is still living under God's condemnation. Now, what's the point of all this? The point is a very simple one. God forgives, accepts, is pleased with the humble and the penitent, no matter how sinful they are, no matter what their record or their history may be. On the other hand, God does not forgive, accept, or favor the ones who think they're righteous. The people who think highly of themselves because they're outwardly good people are not closer to God than the outwardly sinful people out there. They're actually at least a half step farther away. At the time of Jesus, I'd say that most people in Israel, or even most people in the world at that time, recognized at least to some degree that they were sinful and needed saving. Now, the pagans brought offerings to their false gods, and many of the poor people in Israel still didn't trust in God's forgiveness, in His mercy for Christ's sake, but they recognized they had a problem. The Pharisees didn't, but the Pharisees were the minority. What about now? What about the times we live in? Well, there are still plenty of people who know that they're guilty, that they're sinful, that they need saving. But I would say that Pharisaism is much more common today than it used to be. Our society is intentionally trying to take the belief in sinfulness and personal accountability out of people's minds and hearts. You're not supposed to take the blame for things anymore. You're supposed to always blame someone else, find someone else who is really at fault, because it couldn't be you. Everyone is special. Everyone is a winner. No one deserves to have bad things happen to them. No one certainly deserves to go to hell. No, the world is full of virtue signaling, people trying to prove that they're more righteous than other people. It applies to political and social issues. It applies to religious issues. So many people trusting in themselves that they are the righteous ones. Learn from Jesus today that such people will not be accepted by God. Only the humble who acknowledge and are sorry for their own wretchedness, who trust only in God's mercy, that He'll be merciful to them for Christ's sake, will be justified before God. Therefore, humble yourselves before God, as Peter says, as the whole message of the Bible says, everyone, always. And never think of yourself as more deserving of God's acceptance than someone else. And if you've lived for a while as a Pharisee, take heart. Either you'll humble yourself or God will humble you. But even if God humbles you, sometimes there's hope. As in that Pharisee who was humbled in the book of Acts by the name of Saul, or Paul, who was a self-righteous Pharisee until God humbled him and converted him and made him into one of the greatest apostles. And yet, even as one of the greatest apostles, what did you hear Paul say in today's epistle? I am actually the least of all the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. But by God's grace, I am what I am. Be humbled underneath God's mighty hand that He may lift you up, and He will. And then once He lifts you up, live still as that humble person who lives not by your own righteousness, but by God's grace in Christ Jesus. And God will use you too in His kingdom as He used the apostle. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.